Let's Science is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
3, 2, 1. We live in a universe of scientific wonders.
Every day, scientists are inching towards breakthroughs which can change our lives.
We're playing our small part in sharing these wonders with you.
That's why today is a fine day for science.
So let's science.
Caroline, I don't even know how to introduce this one, so I'm going to hand it. I'm very curious about it, by the way, but I wouldn't have a clue how to introduce it. So I'm going to hand this one over to you.
Another awesome.
It is awesome. So, Caroline, it's in your hands. Let's go.
Okay, so I'm going to be talking about ancient Egyptian baboon DNA today. All right.
Something we all talk about around the coffee table, around the water cooler.
Today I'll be talking, it's a little bit of history and science today. Sometimes it's environment and science, sometimes it's, there's a lot of different topics. So today I'm mixing one of my loves of ancient Egypt and science. So let's go for it. In the ancient days, before there was currency, people used to trade between themselves. So like ancient cities used to trade between themselves, and ancient Egyptians were the same, and they used to go on trade missions to various regions around them, such as Nubia, or is today Sudan, Lebanon, Canaan, many other cities around them. And they would bring back luxury and other goods that they needed. They used to send goods to other cities and trade them for the items they needed and weren't able to produce or obtain in their own area. And such goods as cattle, gold, ivory from Nubia, cedar wood from Lebanon, pottery and construction materials from Canaan. But there was one other important commodity that they used to trade for that they couldn't find in their region, and that was baboons, okay? Baboons
Everyone needs one.
Were very
useful.
Important to the ancient Egyptians. That's right. They used to love animals. They used to worship them. They used to have gods based deities based on animals for their different virtues, their different aspects of the animal that they used to like, and they would worship them.
It does make sense.
It does. It does make sense. They used to use their natural environment to explain certain things.
Exactly.
So baboons for the ancient Egyptians were associated with the ancient god of the underworld named Babi, and also the deity Thoth. Now, Thoth was associated with knowledge and scribes, and the baboon image of Thoth became an assistant in the judgment hall in the underworld. So this for after death. The god Babi was depicted as either a baboon or a human figure with the head of a baboon. He was known for eating souls of the unrighteous once they had died and their souls passed on to the other side. So the ancient Egyptians who used to worship Babi, the baboon god, used to perform rituals and spells so they would be saved from Babi's wrath after they died. They would then go on to the Hall of Two Truths, where if they were good, Babi would actually protect them by not letting them go to the side of the evildoers.
This sounds like the plot of Moon Knight, the Marvel hero. Yeah, if anyone's seen it. Anyway.
Not. I don't know.
I'll throw that in there. Anyway, move along.
I've heard of it.
Not but
you've got to watch it. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, anyway. Go on.
You can put it in an entertainment section sometime. Now, baboons were also associated with other ancient Egyptian deities, and I've included a link on our notes. There's a great article which goes into a lot of details about baboons in ancient Egypt, if you want to have a look at that. Now, baboons, as I mentioned, were not native to Egypt. They were sourced from the land of Punt. Now, Punt was mentioned in many ancient texts, and it was known as a popular place for pharaohs to obtain luxury goods. From King Sahure, who lived as early as 2450 BC, to Queen Hatshepsut around 1500 BC. Now, she was cool because she proclaimed herself a pharaoh, one of the few female pharaohs to reign Egypt. And then on to Thutmose the Third and Amenhotep the Third, who were Hatshepsut's successors, and then all the way down to Ramses II in the 12th century BC. Now, ancient archaeologists have always wondered where this land of Punt is.
So I ask you, yeah.
They didn't know straight away. And where from Punt, they used to source luxury goods as myrrh, frankincense, malachite, leopard skins, and, of course, baboons. So it was all the real luxury stuff. Like, it was a real special occasion when they went to the land of Punt. That's where they would get all their goodies.
Where does the millionaires go to? Where they want to buy a boat or a
this was Mercedes, the top stuff.
Ferrari.
The real luxury. Yeah.
Wow.
The real luxury.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, it was described many times in text, but the location was actually never properly disclosed. This is where the baboon DNA comes in. Okay. So through the DNA, they've been able to locate where Punt was. So through the studies of DNA from baboon that was mummified in Egypt between 800 and 500 BC, the land of Punt may have been tracked down. Not only that, but it's thought that it may have been the port of Eritrea, or used to be called Adolus, as was known by the Romans, the ancient Romans. Now, baboons used to be kept in temples and often mummified and offered to the gods. And mummified baboon teeth is actually what they used to obtain this DNA. So in 2020, a researcher, Nathaniel Dominey, he's actually a primatologist at Dartmouth College, was able to obtain DNA molecules to reveal that the baboon's diet in early life, and it revealed that they came from a region around modern-day Somalia or Eritrea, and these baboons were mummified around 1550 BC to 1070 BC, and also from the Ptolemaic era, 305 to 330 BC, and that's when the Greek Ptolemies ruled Egypt. Now, in a more recent study published in September 2023, another researcher, Gisela Kopp, from the University of Konstanz in Germany, along with Nathaniel Dominey, so they teamed up, they extracted mitochondrial DNA of a mummified baboon first excavated in 1905 in Egypt's Valley of the Monkeys, which is located at Luxor's western bank of the Nile River. Now, DNA from 14 baboons was extracted, but only one of the female baboon contained DNA that was actually able to be studied. Now, this one was mummified between 800 and 540 BC. This mitochondrial DNA was compared to the DNA of baboons living in the 19th and 20th centuries, and the origins of those baboons were known. So to study this DNA this way means they could give more specific geographic locations than the previous study of discerning diet through the teeth. So according to her mitochondrial DNA, this baboon was related to modern day species known as Papiohamadryas, found in the plains and open rock areas of the Red Sea coast. Additionally, she had a line on her tooth called an enamel hyperplasia that develops in response to stress. Dominey, the researcher, said that this could have resulted from being captured at a young age, possibly around 2 years old.
Whoa.
Enduring a grueling sea voyage thousands of miles north to Egypt, where she lived the rest of her days as a venerated embodiment of Thoth, the god of wisdom, before dying at around 6 or 7 years old.
Lived a good life.
Yeah. So by studying and comparing the DNA, they were able to show that the baboon was most closely related to populations from, which I mentioned earlier, coastal Eritrea. And Gisela Kopp says this is close to the ancient port of Adolus, as mentioned. So she also thinks that perhaps Punt and Adolus are the same, but the ancient Egyptians may have been visiting there first, calling it Punt. So there you go. Archaeological clues found through the study of ancient baboon DNA, and they hope that in the future the other animal DNA can be studied to see if they come from the same region and perhaps further confirm the mysterious location of Punt. Yeah. Now, as a cool side note about baboons, just through my watching of documentaries and things, if you look up the tomb of Tutankhamun, so everybody knows all about King Tut, and his successor, which is actually, he used to be the vizier of Tut before he became a pharaoh after Tut died. If you have a look, I recommend you find a podcast or a YouTube video about it, but you will see on their tombs that they both have a wall which they have the 12 baboons representing the god Thoth on them. So they literally have, yeah, it's amazing if you look at it. It's a wall of baboons.
Yeah.
And these two died like in the same era, so they had quite a similar tombs, and there's a bit of controversy and all that, but I would love you to go and look it up and research it and watch some YouTube videos about it, because the story is quite interesting. The whole thing about King Tut, and I could go on about it, but and his father Akhenaten and all that, Queen Nefertiti and all that. It's quite a tumultuous period in ancient Egypt, but yeah, it's quite interesting. And yeah, I just had to take the opportunity to, because I'd heard of this ancient area of Punt as well mentioned in other podcasts, and they'd always said they didn't know where it was, and then I came across this article and they're pinpointing it now, which is amazing. Science, yay science, and yay history. It was a good
one. I was reading while you were talking, I was looking at an article as well from lifescience.com, and so it says here that the baboon is the only animal not native to Egypt that is linked with Egyptian deities. It's a little odd that Egyptians took such interest in baboons. They tend to steal crops and break into homes looking for food, making them difficult to live with. And then it finishes with the people who coexist with baboons today don't really like them. So
it's fascinating. It's fascinating. They used to lock them up in temples and things and sacrifice them and all of that. I don't think they enjoyed living with them as such.
Poor baboons.
But I think there was things that, like, the aspects of a baboon was something like sometimes they can look quite serene and like thinking and look like quite regal. And then they also worship the sun when the sun comes up. They love the sun. And the ancient Egyptians used to love the sun too. They had the sun god Ra, and they also had the Aten, which was like a big god with hands coming down. Anyway, so there were definitely things that they loved about baboons that they thought it was worth it enough to be traveling to a faraway land to actually get them and bring them back to the area and involve them in their ceremonies. But yeah, it's a really interesting topic. It's just something amazing.
It's amazing. You know? Like I said, Caroline, a lot of animals we see on the hieroglyphics we see definitely the cat. I joke with Bernadette. I'm just being silly here, but sometimes I think the cat.
Yeah, they're so dominant, they managed to take over ancient Egypt.
Tell us we need to eat something, we need to go out somewhere. I'm not saying that they had doors back in those days, but the cats were on there.
They had doors.
Pharaohs loved animals. And then
they did. Big animal lovers.
Exactly. And then when we think about it, I'm being silly, and stop me if I am. This is their faith in the
city. It
was how they practiced.
Exactly. And then they were thinking, oh, okay, so the cat does this and the baboons do this and many other animals do everything, the birds in the air, the creatures on the ground. They have their own meaning of their own faith in what they believe. And it's huge. Mm. We have a Sphinx, people, that they thought it was a god. There you go. We go to our cat. There's your cousin who was...
worship
and as a god.
Is actually a really interesting point you make, because we don't worship animals, but we definitely use animals as symbols in our own faith. We have a dove, like it talks about his spirit hovered over the waters when Jesus was baptized like a dove, which goes back to the spirit hovering over the waters of creation, right? You've got Jesus is the new creation, so on. And we use the Lamb of God. We use animals as analogy.
Yes.
We certainly do that. Now, I forgot where the tradition comes from, but I'm not sure entirely how true it is, to be honest. Someone will have to look this up for me. But I think in some places in the church, they use a pelican as a symbol. Is it a pelican? Apparently, I don't know. Or was it another
stork.
Bird? Another bird.
Was that the same thing?
But apparently maybe it's not a pelican, but they pierce themselves so that their young can feed off their blood when they don't have anything else to feed their young. And that was Christ's blood.
Oh, yes, I've heard something about that.
I'm going a bit blank on it now. I'll have to look it up properly. I don't know which. Can't be a pelican. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I was thinking about pelicans because at Phillip Island a few months ago. Yeah. Anyway.
I think you're right. I heard something about this myself. Yeah.
But anyway, the thing is, the use of animals as symbols is not unfamiliar to us. St. Francis of Assisi even preached to animals. So there is in our faith, not the worship of animals.
I constantly talk to my animals. Yeah. I know they understand me.
They're at the threshold of curiosity out there. Yeah.
Let Science is brought to you by StarQuest Media and is a fortnightly podcast that brings you the scientific wonders of our universe from a distinctly Catholic point of view. For more from Caroline, Lindsay, and friends, listen to the StarQuest show, Catholics of Oz. Find links from today's show at sqpn.com/science and find the Catholics of Oz at sqpn.com/Oz. Be sure to follow the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts, or on the SQPN YouTube channel. The generous donations of our patrons at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Let Science and all the shows at StarQuest, which makes our nonprofit mission possible. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. Join us next time for more scientific wonders, and thank you for listening to Let Science on StarQuest. Here's another show on the StarQuest Network you're sure to enjoy, The Secrets of Middle-Earth. Find it wherever you can find podcasts or at sqpn.com/Middle-Earth.